Thank you. My name is Irving Kosjančić. I'm a urologist at the University of Illinois in Chicago. And we're going to switch gears a little bit now, going towards the trans male, and where the whole goal of the phalloplasty is to construct something that holds urethra in place. This is a urological view of the surgery. And the urethra represent actually the most challenging part, one of the challenging part of these procedures. As you can see here, there is 58% of these patients develop some sort of issues after the construction of the neo-urethra. Fistula, strictures, combination of both. Some of them are related to the type of flap that is used to create a new phallus or graft. And we moved from local flaps towards the radial forearm free flap, which is in currently the, I would say, the gold standard in this type of surgery. And you can create problems on the urethra from the very beginning of it, from the native urethra towards the very end, towards the meatus on the neophallus. This is such a big problem that usually requires two specialties working together, shoulder by shoulder, urologist and plastic surgeon. And even in this combination, this is in a French experience, they have a nice large series of patients, one plastic surgeon, one urologist. Their take-home message after their large practice is, we do not recommend to bring the urethra on the tip of neophallus, and we offer to our patients almost routinely a perineal urethrostomy. And this should be part of the informed consent of this thoughtful discussion that we have with our patients when we are counseling them and manage their realistic expectation after the surgery. And some of the patients, they say, I don't want to go through all these possibilities, through these multiple surgeries, delaying, for instance, the possibility to get the erectile implants into the neophallus, that they do decide to go to the perineal urethrostomy, like this is a patient of ours in Chicago. Why is this such a big deal? We used to reconstruct urethras for centuries. The problem is that even after reconstruction, after multiple reconstruction, the urethra is still represent a problem and a challenge, up to 60% of the cases in our practice. So that's why it's good to have two specialties that can actually manage these patients. So let's talk about what are the options to lengthen the urethra and to bring the give the patients the possibility to urinate in a standing position. We have two different options. We can do a metoidoplasty, use the native clitoris, and try to elongate it and bring the urethra on the top of this neoclitoris, of this existing clitoris. You have basically two major techniques. One is using a small little vaginal flap and a dorsal skin from the clitoris, which is in my mind, not the best type of tissue that you can use to elongate the urethra. This is how we are doing it. So we are using, a vaginal flap, small little vaginal flap. I'm not going to touch this. On the bottom of the image, you can see. Then you create a large flap from the labia minora, which is going to be then representing the ventral aspect of the neo-urethra. And the defect you're going to cover with harvested buccal mucosa and create now a longer plate. As you can see here, after you're freeing the clitoral hood, the clitoral skin, you can actually then bring this towards the tip of the clitoris, of the neophallus in this case. This is not any different compared to what we are doing, for instance, in male hypospadia, when you have the real opening more ventrally compared to the the normal position, and you create, you need the space, you need to create this gap, cover the gap between the opening and the tip of the penis using some sort of graft, usually buccal mucosa. Here is an example. As you can see here, the clitoris is now straightened. The graft, the area is grafted with the buccal mucosa and then covered with the flap from the labia minora on one side and the skin from the labia from the other side to cover the skin of this after the metoidoplasty. This is one of the final aspects that you can see in this type of surgeries. There are studies. This is a group from Belgrade that actually studied and developed part of this technique, showing that superiority of the using of the metoidoplasty with buccal mucosa and labia minora flap rather than the clitoral skin. But also in these cases, the results are still challenging. The complications are still high, so you have to discuss this with the patient. And some of the patients do prefer to have also in metoidoplasty just a perineal urethrostomy. You can also use the metoidoplasty as a stage approach towards the future phalloplasty. You can mature basically the urethra that you prepared in the metoidoplasty and then use that elongated urethra in the phalloplasty. And this makes part of the challenges in longer urethras when you're doing a phalloplasty easier. You can see here we used on the left side of the screen the metoidoplasty. We have a nicely mature longer urethra that comes onto the anastomosis with the pendular urethra done with the phalloplasty. You can prepare the clitoral dorsal nerve and for the sensational part of the procedure and do the anastomosis with the nerves from the flap and have reduced the risk of anastomosis into the more proximal portion of the urethra. In the phalloplasty, as I said before, majority of the techniques is represented by using a forearm free flap, where it's a tube in the tube, so urethra is tubularized and then covered with the skin from the after part of the shaft. And again, you have many techniques that you have to adapt on the patient's local anatomy to create these longer urethras. And they apply to different portions of the urethra that you're using. You can, from the pendulous urethra, the one from the on the neophallus, you can do a prelamination, prefabrication, you can do tube in tube, or separate flaps. It's such a big problem that a lot of surgeons that are dealing with this surgery prefer to start with the stage approach to begin with. For the fixed urethra, you can use local vaginal flaps or labial flaps to create this. Colpoclasis is an important portion. It's good to maintain as much of the vaginal tissue as possible because this is going to prevent the fistula formation and is going to also give a better blood supply for any augmented and elongated urethras. There are several techniques that you can use. Some of them are not working, and we know this. For instance, if you're trying to tubularize a vagina and make a connection with another tubularized structure in the forearm, it's just a calling for disasters because tube in a tube is not working very well. And we learned this in the CIS reconstructive urology. That's why you can use is better using local tissue. And you have an abundance of tissue here that allows you to create these longer urethras. You can use the vestibulum, you can use the vagina, you can combine them both into longer and wider tubes. This is an example of a vestibular neo-urethra. It's very easy to do. It's easy to elevate the flaps laterally from the vestibulum, a shorter vaginal flap, which might be a challenge in highly in lower estrogen milieu that this patient have, so it tends to bleed more and it's more difficult to separate. But the problem is that you create tubes under tension. Here is you can see some steps into this procedure, but also you can see here that what the tension creates in this vestibular flap when you're trying to close over this side of a catheter, which should be at least 18 French. And usually after, when you separate, when you bring the flap over, you do the anastomosis, the biggest challenge is actually to change the catheter, to go from the catheter that is created, that is laced into the neo-urethra in the flap towards this. Our current preference is to use a larger and longer vaginal flaps, as you can see here. It's a good tissue that you have there. It's nicely vascularized. And you can combine this with the tissue that is on the side of the vestibulum and make a nice longer urethra. This can accommodate up to 20 French a year. Usually, it's the blood supply is pretty good in this area. And as you can see here, it's very easy. You have a nice tissue that allows to close this new urethra without any additional tension. We use also some technology to measure the blood supply in the area, like with the SPI. And you can see here, is as you can see on the right side of your screen, it's pretty well vascularized. So it has a great blood supply that is going to then reduce the risk of stenosis. And as this is like, I would call this a bulbar urethra. My colleagues, plastic surgeons, used to call membranous urethra. Membranous urethra for a urologist is the one where the sphincter is, and we are far away from the sphincter in this area. But as I said before, preserving the vagina during not performing a vaginectomy, but just a colpoclasis, gives a great support and vascular support to this this area. And now it's very easy to perform an anastomosis through between the proximal urethra, as you can see here. We place between 6 to 8 interrupted stitches that is going to be then connected with the urethra, so the tube into the forearm. This is how it's closed, the scrotum, to cover the whole area. And this neoscrotum is done out of labia majora. This is the part of the anastomosis, and that's how the urethra is done. Now, I was taught by my friend, who's unfortunately cannot be here, and colleague, Dr. Schechter, that I was never wrong. Actually, I was wrong only once when I was taught that I was wrong. And the majority, almost all of our patients, urinate in this way after the procedure. So we are a great team, and we have zero complications. Now, after staying longer with Randy, I also know how to manage my delusional problems, and these are our actually real complications. We all have complications, and this is something that you have to discuss with your patient. You will have some bumps into this long and difficult procedure of transitioning, but we are here to deal with this. So you have to have all the knowledge in the armamentarium of the different reconstructive techniques that you can use to fix this problem. So in conclusion, urethral reconstruction may require additional procedures that you have to use these techniques that you have, that we all have in the reconstructive urology. And it might be a good option for this patient. So you have to discuss with them the possibility to have just a perineal urethrostomy or a stage approach if the local anatomy requires. Thank you very much.